You're listening to KNKX. I'm Simona Licea. As protests against police brutality continue, we've been talking to Black people about how they're thinking about this moment. And this public reckoning with racism is taking a huge mental toll. I spoke with John Gaines, who's a motivational speaker based in Tacoma. He's also a mentor who works with young men. You work with youth, specifically at-risk boys. Are they talking about all of this with you?
Yes. And so a lot of the young men that I talk to, they are definitely aware of what's going on. For example, I went to a march and just walking alongside of some of the young people, they are frustrated, angry, and they don't really know how to respond. And so just trying to help them through that. And then on the other hand, some of the young people I talk to, I mean, we're in the midst of a pandemic, right? And so I think a lot of people are still, especially the people that I'm exposed to, the young people, their families are hurting. Parents were laid off. They come from single parent homes, some of them in foster care. And so they are still in survivor mode. They don't have environments to really talk about this. And so, for example, there was a young man that I just reached out to and was asking how he's doing. And he really didn't say anything about what was going on. As I tried to open dialogue, he just said, "I really need some shoes." And so I took this young man some shoes, and I kind of get emotional thinking about it because he came outside like with no shoes on.
Wow.
And so I'm just reminded that the same system that we are fighting against is also the same reason why Black and brown folks are disproportionately dying at higher rates from COVID. And these folks are just in survival mode. So they don't have time to really think about other things. They're thinking about food, water, clothing, lights, you know, housing, utility, heat, the basic needs.
Well, and that I think is so interesting because so much of the focus of the protests and the talk about the protests has been about police violence and the nature of policing as it affects Black and brown people. But the larger discussion about racism plays into all these other things. Your economic status, your health care, it's all related.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like you said, I think health, wealth, education, housing. And so when we talk about COVID or when we talk about police, right, I think of what's the root? What is the seed? Where was that birthed from? Because, you know, I used to pull a lot of weeds when I was young and I'd get in trouble. My brother would make me go outside and pull weeds. And anytime I didn't pull it from the root, those weeds would just keep coming back. They just kept coming back.
You mentioned that one thing you work really hard to do is try to get these ideas in front of influencers and people with power. You had mentioned to me that you recently were on a call with some pretty prominent Black male influencers. Are you able to tell me who those folks are?
I don't want to share their names, but I can say the arenas they come from, like NBA players, NFL players, NFL coaches, local activists, very successful entrepreneurs, and just a variety of people on the line, well-known, like nationally acclaimed poets. So there are people from different areas, and a lot of people live here in the Pacific Northwest, whether it be Seattle or Tacoma. And that's just an example of me trying to use my gift to influence the influencers.
Can you describe what it was like to have all these men in a room, virtually speaking? What did it take to kind of get from processing the events of recent weeks to, okay, here's how I'm going to act and here are the people I'm going to contact?
So I've been hearing from a lot of different African-Americans, specifically men. Just I'm tired. Like I feel good, but seeing George Floyd get choked out on the concrete just took it out of a lot of people. And I think the response has been overwhelming, whether it be from like white friends calling us and asking what can they do to help. And then also still having to be like the husbands and the fathers and the businessmen, you know, that we were created to be. So when I got on the call with these men, I wanted to be very intentional, was that I didn't want this call to be one of those calls that we get on and immediately start talking about solutions. And I can tell some guys were upset because they went directly to solution. But I said, as men, especially as Black men, we don't do a good enough job talking about mental health or just talking about our emotions. And so the call just was us kind of expressing how we're processing and how we felt after seeing some of the recent things. And I would just say, I'll say this, it was emotional because a lot of those men, they felt like they didn't have anyone to talk to. And so it was a really good call. It was needed. And it was we can only give what we get. And so I like to say it was a way for us to kind of fill our cup. So now we can go out and continue to pour and give onto others.
It seems like the thing that people really need right now that maybe isn't getting as much play as it could be.
Yeah, and just a follow-up, I think people in general, we don't do, and I'm guilty of it myself, we don't do a good enough job at learning how to, like, take care of ourselves. This world has taught us to work, and just rest for 2 days. And that's just not healthy. I spoke at a protest at Wright Park. And I said, like, don't wait for a system to validate you. Don't wait for another person to validate you. We start to win this fight when we learn to validate and encourage ourselves. And so I just gave them, like, practical things that I do with my 2-year-old daughter.
Can you describe some of those specific things you do with your daughter?
So for my baby girl, every day, this morning she was a little fussy, but she'll be 2 in July. But we say things, so I live by a few things. One of those things is great thoughts. What we think about on a daily basis, I truly believe that's what we become. Those great thoughts turn into great actions. Those things become actions, and those actions, when we do them every single day, as I talk about consistency, become great habits. And those great habits are what lead to our great purpose. So every morning I'm like, hey, baby girl, great thoughts. And she's barely 2 and she says it, great thoughts. I say, great actions. She says, great actions, great habits, great purpose. And then we say, you know, I am smart. I am strong. I am kind. I can overcome. I will overcome. And sometimes the affirmations change, but just things like that.